Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
So welcome to the Defined by Moments podcast. If this is your first time with us, we hope you'll come back and continue to visit and learn along with us as we dig into God's Word for lessons that we can apply both to our life as well as to our leadership. If you are returning to this podcast, thank you. Thank you for the loyalty and coming back. And I hope the Lord uses this to be able to teach you some things. But last week, we went into 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In essence, I pushed pause on our series going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And I just kind of shared, you know, my heart with some things that the Lord has been teaching me about goal setting and priorities. And we looked at what Paul had for us to that immature church in Corinth. And really, he laid it out that we need one priority goal. We have one singular focus, and that focus, he also mentions this in Philippians, is that we do everything to pursue the glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So as I was preparing to return back to Ecclesiastes, I think we're going to maybe this month just focus on some things about life, about goal setting and success, and grab your Bibles. And let's go to the book of Jeremiah. You know, this prophet is often called the weeping prophet. He has written, obviously, this prophetic book that bears his name, and in the book of Lamentations, there's not really a lot known about him. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1, you know, it starts off, we see the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. I mean, that's really all that we know about him. His historical context was, you know, he was a prophet that had been appointed and called by God, and he was there really with the last good king of Judah, but he was also even through the captivity when Babylon came over and crushed this nation. But the reason that I want to really spend some time with him is go to Jeremiah chapter 29. There is a verse in this chapter that is often pulled, that is often used by individuals to talk about, you know, God really wants you to be successful. God is he's got a plan for your life, and that's true. I believe that God does want us to be successful. I do believe that God has a plan for our life. But the context surrounding this verse is often neglected. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know where I'm going. It's Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, and that verse says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare." That word could also be translated as peace. So plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, there are folks that do not teach expositorily that will take that verse, and it often ends up being misapplied. It is often mischaracterized. It is used in order to advance a prosperity gospel where people say, see, God only wants you successful. If things are bad in your life, well, God's got a plan for you. That badness, really, you know, it's your fault. That's wrong. That is an improper understanding of what this verse does. And really, let's sit it in context, and then let's work through what it means for you and I in our modern day. You know, in chapter 29, verse 1, it says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Now, I want to make sure that you understand this. Jeremiah is writing these words at the direction of the Lord to those that have been taken captive, to those who no longer have their freedom. The nation of Israel and Judah has ceased to exist. They have been conquered. They have been overrun. Many of their leaders have been killed. The temple, the wealth inside, the golden, you know, matters and implements that are there have been taken back to Babylon as spoils of war. This is not a good time. So the fact that someone would take verse 11 and go, hey, everything is fine. God has a plan for you. It's prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. They're missing the context of this verse. The other piece that is important here is if you continue to work your way through before we get to verse 11, look at verse 8. He says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord." So not only is Jeremiah writing to people that are in captivity, he is writing them to go, hey, your rulers, these people that are telling you the positive things that you want to hear, they're wrong. They're lying. It's not true. So God is about to turn around and go, let me tell you what that truth is. Verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." God did not turn around and go to them, hey, everything's going to be fine. So the folks that take verse 11 and run with it, they're missing this. God says, you are going to spend 70 years in exile. Many of you will never return home because you're older. For those of you that are younger, you might live to see the day that this occurs. But it's 70 years of anguish that you're going to face. Then we get to verse 11. God says it's going to be 70 years, but the encouragement that he offers them, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." In other words, I have not forgotten the covenant that I have made to Abraham. I have not forgotten the covenant that I have made to my servant David. I'm going to fulfill that. But you resisted me. You did not listen to me, and because of that, I had to bring this calamity upon you. What did Moses tell them before he died? He told them, if you follow God, you're going to be blessed. If you go away from God, you're going to be cursed. So the Lord is pointing back to the fact of all of these things that I have said, they're true. And because they are true, guess what's going to happen? What I'm telling you now about the future will also come to pass. The amazing part to me is if you look at this entire section, and specifically looking at verses 11, 12, and 13, note all the times that we see the word I or me translated in our English Bibles. This is a very personal passage where God is laying it out that I am the sovereign. I'm the one that's in control here. And he's simply saying to them, you need to step back and you need to trust the plan that I have for you. That's what he says in verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you. Now, how does this apply to us in the modern day? Well, we need to understand, number one, God is in control. Whether things are successful in our lives currently, whether things are difficult in our lives currently, God is still in control. So what he is saying to them, for I know the plans that I have for you, if we take that Hebrew word and we really dig into it, it tells us there's a purpose. So God, in speaking to his people who are in captivity, tells them, I have a purpose for you. My friends, if you're listening to this, guess what? God can reach out to you and say, I have a purpose for you. And what is that purpose? Well, we see a plan for peace. That word for peace is not an absence of war. It means completeness. It means whole. So God says, my purpose for you is that you will be whole. That plan is not for evil. So if it's not for evil, that means that it is for good. It is for the best thing that you can possibly have. The key to this is to understand it from God's perspective. He sees your good and my good from the portals of heaven. We only see in our limited mind what we think is best for us is not. So God is saying, I have a plan for you, a plan of peace, which means you're going to be whole and complete in me. I have a plan that is good, and what is it? To give you a future. That future means the end of a journey, a specific destination. There is something that is out there for you. And then I love this next piece where God says it's not just a plan of peace, and not a plan of good. It's not just a plan for the future, but it is a plan of hope. And literally that Hebrew word means a cord or something to hold onto. Think about it. These people are going through you know, lots of questions of why did God let this happen? Why are we in captivity? Why are we being led astray? You know, if you fall off a cliff and there is a rope as you're falling, what are you going to do? You're going to grab and you're going to hold on to it with everything that you've got. That's what God is saying to them. Things may be difficult right now. You might not understand, but I'm going to have a purpose for you that will give you hope, something that you can hold on to. That's what God says he's going to do. That's his job in this whole piece. But now let's flip the coin. Let's look at our role. Let's look at our responsibility. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." And in the first part of verse 14, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord." This is amazing because we think that we have to do all of these things. We have to work hard. We have to do this. We have to do that to make our success happen. Well, yes, we do need to work. But my friends, the work that we need to do is not what we think. Our role, our responsibility, and our success is simple. We pursue God with our whole heart. There is nothing that we hold on to. There is nothing that we place before him. There is nothing more important in our lives than seeking him. If we do that, then guess what? The Lord is going to show us what he has for us. And the Lord is going to bring it to pass. This does not mean that we can contrive some grand goal of I shall make $1 million in the next year. And then when it doesn't happen at the end of the year, well, that's God's fault. He didn't really give me what I wanted. This isn't about what we want. It's about what he wants to do through us. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here. If you go further, again, look at verse 19. Jeremiah is turning around to them, and he's going to go back to this theme earlier about the prophets of that time and the priests of that time that were saying the things that everyone wanted to hear. And then God unveils, "Because they did not pay attention to my words, declares the Lord, that I persistently sent to you by my servants, the prophets, but you would not listen, declares the Lord." He continues to put this out and says, you need to listen to me. Had you pursued me with your whole heart, had you listened to the words that I had for you, had you adopted the purpose and the plan, we know the answer. Had they followed him, then they would not be in the situation that they were currently in. So Jeremiah is being very clear. If you continue looking at this, verse 20 says, "Because they have done an outrageous thing in Israel. They have commanded adultery with their neighbor's wives, and they have spoken in my name lying words that I did not command them. I am the one who knows. I am the witness, declares the Lord." God is saying, I am sovereign. I know everything that's taking place. You can't pull a fast one on me. And that is a challenge to us. You know, as we're thinking about success for 2022, as we're thinking about our goals for this year, we like to say things to others that make us sound spiritual. I have a goal that I'm going to read my Bible through the entire year. That's great. But what's the motivation? Is the motivation for you to look and appear good in front of others? Or is the true motivation to draw closer to God? We see it in verses 12 and 13. You will call upon me. You will come to me. You will pray to me. You will seek me. You will find me. How? If you seek me with your whole heart. There is a hymn that we often have sung at, you know, at invitation times and in more traditional services that I absolutely love the line, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." Can you say that? If there is something between you and your Savior, then you are not pursuing him with your whole heart. My friends, the glory of this passage is that God has a purpose for your life. The struggle in this passage is you can't do anything about it. other than seek the Lord with your whole heart. If you make him first, you know what we see in Matthew chapter 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you put him first in your life, he will always take care of you. There is no promise that you will be wealthy. There is no promise that you will not have struggles. There is no promise that everything will be smiles across every day. But God will always take care of you, which means your attitude will be one of contentment. Your attitude will be one where you leave everything in God's hands. And then you are able to take that moment and be successful. Now, when we think success in our modern times, we often equate that to power, to position, to possessions. But success is much deeper in the Christian life. Success is being faithful to God. And that's what Jeremiah is really speaking to these people that are in exile. God is going to be faithful to you. You need to be faithful to him. I absolutely love this passage, and it has opened my eyes that sometimes the goals that I set are more my goals instead of being his goals. And quite frankly, whenever they're my goals and I don't meet them, that creates frustration. But if they're his goals, they may not be met in the time frame that I think they're going to be met. But God is working through you. And the only way that God can work through you is if he first works on you. I will save this and then we'll read one more verse and we'll close. Think about Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the desert before God brought him back to Egypt to become the leader of Israel. God had to work on Moses for a while. And you know what? God needs to work on you, just like God needs to work on me. But the implication in Jeremiah is we need to be willingly surrendering to his direction, to his leading, so that he can work the purpose that he has for our lives. I want to come back. I want to read these verses one more time, and then we'll wrap up. Jeremiah 29, verses 11, 12, and 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you then, declares the Lord. Thank you for joining Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.